It's your girl, Sheila Chanel.
And this is your man, Mike Love, and I'm fresh out.
And welcome to this week's episode of Forever Mine, a podcast with two lovers who just, you know, talk about the good, the bad, the ugly of love.
And everything that we go through, everything that's to come in our life, you know, we want to share with you guys. And maybe you guys are going through some of the same things, and maybe you're looking for, you know, some answers to some things. And we are too, you know. The journey's never ended, you know. Mm-hmm. It's always a learning process. So you guys stay tuned with us. We're gonna be talking about some interesting things. It's really kind of up to you guys. We want to make it up to you guys to decide what we talk about sometimes, you know. So all your suggestions are warranted. You can reach us at 99forevermine@gmail.com. You know, anything that you guys want to talk about, let us know,
We love the interaction. We go back and forth. So this week's episode, though, we're going to discuss, why did I get married? People get married for a lot of different reasons.
Yes, they do.
And then sometimes they last. Sometimes people get married after they've only been together for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, and it lasts forever. And there are some people who have been together for many years, and it ends abruptly in a divorce after they get married and probably have been married for like
20-30 years.
Yeah, 20-30 years.
In my mind, it's no manual to this, you know. It's no manual, guys. You just always do what's best for you and your significant other, your better half.
Yeah.
You know, turn to no one else but God for direction, for wisdom. Sometimes we express ourselves and we vent to certain places that just should not be vented to, you know, and that can cause destruction.
So before Mike Love and I got married, we sat down to a couple of sessions of premarital counseling. Now, for our particular situation, his dad is a pastor or a preacher, so we were actually able to sit down with him and have this discussion. And it was funny because he was actually also the same person who married us. So it was part of his criteria for us to go through this counseling before we actually got married.
And I am fighting.
He was fighting it from the very beginning. Like, he was not here for the sit down counseling session. Why were you not feeling it?
Well, for me, it was more so I didn't want people trying to prove that we weren't compatible. You know, I didn't want it to come out that you and I weren't suitable or I wasn't ready because I wanted you then. Mm-hmm. And then on another level, it was, I don't want no counseling, it's kind of like something's wrong with me, you know, like I'm going to lay on the couch and, you know, the psychiatrist is going to tell me, you know, he's going to read me and tell me about myself. You know, so, you know, it was arrogance, but there was some very, very true, genuine feelings. It was just like, I was ready to be with her, and I didn't want nobody telling me that I couldn't.
So you think that your thought process before we actually went through it was that I might not want to after we go through the counseling?
Yeah, that, you know, you would feel and change your mind, you know, and then you're like, well, we're not ready, and then I'm gonna be hot and be like, what, you know. Yeah, right. turn up.
Well, honest, that's actually kind of selfish.
But... It is. But I'm being honest. Wow. I mean, you know, that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like this is something that I want. And, you know, the way I'm seeing things is the only way that matters. You know, does she see me? Is she ready? Does she seem ready? I seem ready. I feel ready. She feels ready. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Someone else saying no, or you give me these tests. Well, who made up these tests? Mm-hmm. I'm all these, you know, but that's the devil I'm allowing to, you know, step in and talk down on what God wants us to have, you know, what's good. And, you know, I don't think anything intentionally, you know, malicious to my dad, you know, or anything like that. It was just, you know, I know he wasn't like trying to hate, but it was just he wanted to make sure that I was going to be ready to do what was right for you.
Right.
And that at the end of the day, now, you know, I understand now. I get that. But, you know, I'm just being transparent. That's how I feel.
Wow. That's honest. I don't think you ever told me that before.
No.
No.
Yeah, I just wanted to be real.
Well, I don't really know how I felt about it initially. I really don't. But on this side of things, I can understand how it could potentially be important. I will, however, say that because everybody's situations are different as it pertains to certain things, right. I don't think you can ever fully prepare for what marriage is really all about. Right. Like somebody could give you some of their insight from their past experience, mm-hmm. And they might even be able to relate it back to whatever religion you're in or whatever, mm-hmm. And try to use those as guides. Or just
and that's what I feel like they're there for. Yeah, right. I'm with you. I feel like that's what they're there for.
Right. But they just kind of give you those little snippets, and then you could kind of gauge off of those things, you know, how you react in those situations. However, you never really know how you react in those situations until they come into play.
Right,
seriously.
I'm with you on that because when you and I have come to some things, you and I have, you know, some disagreements, some bumps in the road, whatever you want to call them. One thing I will say to the gentlemen listen, guys, my advice to you is to pick your battles. A wise man told me this: the things that you really, really, really care about, let that be what you stand on and stand firm on. And, you know, because, man, we don't have time for the bouffalé. Mm. But when you and I have gone through some things, we have, we've dealt with them. We've gotten through them, thank God. But looking back, I know for a fact we could have done some things better. Mm. I could have handled it better. You could have done some things better. Mm. And we would have got a better outcome.
Right.
But I don't have any regrets. I'm not regretting that, hey, that this happened, because I learned something from it. I was able to grow from it. And I feel like that's all it's about, y'all. Like, mm-hmm. if you're not going to learn anything from what you go through, then you're not growing. The whole point of this walk in life, this whole walk in marriage and everything, is to evolve.
Yeah.
It's all about evolving. If you're not evolving, you're stagnant. If you're stagnant, you're going to draw flies. You're going to stink.
That's real deal. Yeah, you gotta keep it moving. So, now, this is actually my first marriage, but you've actually done this before.
Yes.
So, my question to you is, was there anything that you learned from the first marriage that you feel improved this particular marriage?
Yes. Okay. This puts me in a situation where I have to disclose some things. I won't go into depth, but I'll say this. The topic is, why did I get married? The first time, the reasons behind why I got married the first time are not the reasons why I got married this time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for starters. And I won't go any further, but I'll just say with you and I, there are some dynamics that you and I have and had that I did not have with that other individual.
Right.
So when you and I engaged, it was long lost history reuniting, and you know, we're opening up history books and we're just refreshing our memory on these, you know, this curriculum in order for us to be able to take this test that we're about to have to take. We're about to take some exams so that we could go to college. You know, so we're taking these exams, and you know, the studying before you take these tests, you know, I was a little bit more current on the material. So it made it easier. It made it easier to flow, but all at the same time, you know, I still had to learn you, and I wasn't willing to learn you because I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew, you know, I thought I had it all together. I thought I was Return of the Mac. It is. I wasn't none of that. So, you know,
I can honestly say I felt the same way when we got married. Because we've been knowing each other for so long, I do recall a certain point in which it was that kind of kiddish love, like, oh, let me write my name with your name, or, you know, oh, let's fall asleep on the phone, all this, you know. So it was very fairy tale-ish.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. So true. So, you know, we remained friends, you know, for a long time. At the time that we weren't together, we still had a friendship. So we still knew a whole lot about each other, and we were still able to kind of connect on top of the fact that we had already had the princess.
Right.
So
it was a lot of familiarity.
It was very familiar. Yeah. It was very comfortable. And it was very romanticized.
Yes.
So when we got married, I thought that that's exactly what it was going to be. Like, forever. Mm-hmm. No arguing, you know, we didn't argue.
Right.
Even in the times in which we didn't see eye to eye, we weren't argumentative in a negative way.
Right. Just more like a disagreement.
Right.
A misunderstanding.
Correct.
Yeah, that way.
So when we got married, you know, I thought that that was what it was gonna be like. And forever. And then at certain points, you know, when we started hitting bumps in the road, it was like, whoa, like, I never expected this.
Right. The expectation that you and I would go through some of the things that we've known other people to go through in a marriage and in relationships, it was like, not us, because of how we felt we were built. And it was, you know, come to find out, it's just like, you know, you think you're built for it tough, and you know, you're really not ready.
Yeah.
You know, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right.
And I've always felt like that. So I think a lot of times that reflected a nonchalant attitude. It was just, you know, I wanted to remain confident in what was going on. I never wanted you to be like, ah, man, you know, he don't know. He ain't got it. You're not gonna want to follow me. You're not gonna want to be. You know what I mean? Just keeping it real. You know, if you show the weakness, then how long can you show that? You know, before you pull off.
Wow. You know what though? That's real.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but that's very honest.
Yeah.
So like, growing up, was there any married couple that you know that you looked up to, you know, as to what a marriage should look like?
As to what a marriage should look
like?
Yeah,
or you just really liked you admired their marriage.
Oh, okay. I had multiple representations.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, my parents, you know, there are some like parents that live in Texas. I grew up with.
Okay.
I had a actual aunt and uncle that were a representation of that. I had a grandmother and a grandfather, you know, on my mother's side that was a representation of that.
Yeah.
You know, my brother.
Okay.
Just, you know, growing up, but from the younger age, definitely, you know, those first four.
Mm.
And so a lot of different dynamics from all of those kind of created a picture for me.
What were some of the things that you saw them do that you admired?
One was definitely consistent with, to me, all of them was get that money.
Okay.
Definitely get that money.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, you ain't nothing, but you my nothing.
Hmm.
No matter what was going on, it was always a sense of loyalty, at least to each other, to the two. And, you know, I admire that. They poured out love to other people, you know, not being selfish. So you can see them pour into each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if one thing I've learned about a giver, if you're a true giver, I can see if you're with someone, it's like clear as day, transparent as day, that you give to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to see that, you know, from all of them consistently. But yeah, those are a lot of things that, you know, I admired about them, you know, the dress, the swag, the, you know, it was all individual.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were individual, but they all had their own thing, you know. You know, my grandma, man, you know, she make these biscuits, then, you know, you just, hey, it's like, that's her thing. She in the kitchen, and then she can sing, you know, and if you want to hear something, you want to hear the truth, it might be raw. She's gonna give you this. She's gonna go talk to her, you know. She's gonna give it to you, you know. You know, and you know, my man, you know what it is. My mom, you know how she rock, you know, my Texas auntie rock, you know, just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Papu, you know what he stands for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no slack, you know, it just tighten up, you know. So these are all things that are coming from. I have to look at it from parental reception, but now that I'm older, I can look at it from a sense of, you know, this, how can I incorporate this into my flow as an adult, as a grown person, as an entrepreneur, as a person who's evolving.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time with evolution, you know. And what about you? Like, you know, you have representations of what that looks like, so.
Growing up, my dynamic was very different from yours. Growing up, you know, there was my grandparents on my mom's side. My grandma, and technically he's my step granddad, but you know, that's my granddad. My aunt and uncle, and my other aunts had been married a couple of times, but I didn't have a lot of interaction during those times. Like, most of the times when I really had most interaction with those aunts, it was just them.
Right.
And then, you know, my mom didn't get married until later, so that, no. And then on my dad's side, no. So really it was just, you know, my grandparents. And we saw a lot of different dynamics with that. But at the end of the day, they were still pretty loyal to one another, you know.
Right. Is there something that stood out that you saw them do, or something that was consistent no matter what? You knew them for this. When you go over their house, it's gonna be this, or when you're out away from them, you can hear them talking when you're doing.
If we go over there, most of the time it's like all of my cousins over there at the same time. So, you know, we all be over there kicking it. You can guarantee we gonna make these pallets on the floor. You know, it's a sleepover. And we stand up watching TV, different movies and stuff, just kicking it. Might be playing, because most of us are girls. So, might be playing with dolls or something. You know, we chilling. And then they had like a little screened-in porch. And in that porch, they had a bar. And I don't think it was, they didn't keep the actual liquor in that bar. They had a hutch that they kept out.
Are we talking about a park?
Yes, okay. So we would go behind the bar that was on the screen porch, you know, act like we serving drinks and stuff, you know, all kind of stuff like that. And my granddad was like real big on like education, and he used to like to try different types of like cultural type things. So this time it was me and my uncle. We were at the house, and he was like, "Y'all, we gonna have us like a little Chinese tea party."
Right.
So we was like, "Oh yeah." He was like, "Yeah, y'all wear y'all kimonos. You know, you're gonna come down. We're gonna sit at this little table." And it was a little short marble top table that was probably like some sort of Asian design. Right, but right. We came in that living room and sat around that table. It was me and my uncle, and my grandparents. And we had these little bitty cups, and he was like, "Y'all taste this. This is sake." And I think it was really just like tea or something. And he was like, "Y'all can drink this." And then we had little different types of little Chinese dishes. It was so dope. And we took pictures and stuff. I mean, he used to like to interact with us, and I loved that. And there were a lot of moments where we saw him love on her.
Right.
You know, and the fact that he loved on us made me feel like he loved on her even more, because none of her children were his. It was like, okay, but he loved everybody.
It didn't matter.
It did not matter. Yeah. And I really admired that about them. Well, my aunt and uncle, they have been together since they were children. They used to go to church together. You know, and when they were little.
What?
And yeah, and they have pretty much been together ever since. Yeah, and they're in their like 50s.
Oh, you're talking about Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep. So, you know, I admire the fact that they have been they've been devoted to each other. I think that is dope. The longevity of their relationship kind of gives you hope that, oh, okay, you know, this might actually be worth something, you know. And I admire the fact that nobody really knows what their troubles are. Like, right, whatever it is they go to, they use discretion.
Yeah.
And that shows unity.
Yes, it does. It does. To me, I think that is a very, very important thing in securing your relationship, your bond, your investment, you know, what's dear to you. It is, man, imperative. It's conducive. It's relative. It behooves you, to stay loyal, like to stay bonded with that one, to show that, hey, look, no one has an opportunity to divide.
Mm-hmm.
And the only two people that can do that and make sure that happens are the two people.
Yeah.
It's up to them.
Yeah,
it's up to you. You gotta You gotta do due diligence. Mm-hmm. You have to. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're only gonna mistreat yourself. Don't treat yourself. Do not cheat yourself.
Yeah.
Hating hoes ain't happy, and happy hoes ain't hating.
Really?
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you can't feed the fuel, you know what I mean? You can't give them energy to hate, mm-hmm. so keep your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm. Real tough. Right. Well, that's what's up. Is there anything else that you want to add before we sign off?
I just want y'all to cherish what you have. I didn't say idolize. I said cherish. That means be a good steward over what's given to you so you can get more. You know, stop looking at other people and what they have going on in their relationship. It's nothing wrong with admiring and liking certain things, but to allow it to get you to go in a certain direction, drive a certain direction, want to do something because of that, you know, to be competitive, and you know, if you're being, you know, on one, you know, stop, you know, let's use our heart, use our mind. This is your significant other. Love on them.
Mm-hmm.
Keep those things to yourself. Hold it in. You know, talk about it and figure out what works for y'all.
Yeah.
Because you can't do what other people do. It's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
Dynamics are different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The history of that relationship is different. What it's built on is different.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. I love you, though.
I love you, too.
Yeah, I do.
But, yeah, it's just crazy how, like, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Like, that's, like, half.
Oh, and like, yeah, them stats, them real stats.
Yeah, them real stats. And, like, out of that half, they say only 15% are happy.
15% are happy.
Yeah, only 15%. No, I'm sorry. Only 30% are happy, which means only
I'd like to find out, you know, who came up with the happy.
Yeah, that is very, very true. Maybe they just maybe it is up to that person's perception. Like, if I asked you, are you happy? Just straight up question, are you happy in your relationship? Then I know, yes or no.
Right.
There's just no gray area.
Hey, what do y'all think about this? I want y'all to go on the email and tell me what y'all think. Y'all tell us what's the next topic, what you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But tell me how y'all feel about what we're talking about right now. You know, about you and your significant other, anything. You know, anything, feel free to share. You know, we don't judge none of that. You know, if you know, you just want to understand it, you want to be anonymous, but you want some understanding, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to help, you know, and if we don't know, we don't know everything. If we don't know, we know some people, we know some ways to find out.
Absolutely. Okay. That website again is 99forevermind@gmail.com.
That's right.
Hit us up.
That's right. And this is Mike Love.
Uh-huh.
And you are?
I'm Sheila Chanel.
And you know, I always love you.
And you'll forever be mine.
All right, y'all. Till next time.
Till next time.